You're listening to the sermon audio from Mill Creek Community Church. If you like what you've heard or want to find out more information, please visit our website at mymillcreek.com. Please stand for the reading of this evening's text from Matthew 2, 16 through 18. You can find that on page 758. In the Bibles on the chair rack beneath the chair. If you do not have a Bible of your own, please take one of these as our gifts to you. Matthew 2, 16 through 18 reads, "Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more." Join me in prayer. Father, you sent your Son to be our deliverer in the face of evil. Spirit, bring us hope by the preaching of your word, we pray. Amen. You may have your seats.
Well, good evening. I'm so glad so many of you were able to make it. Christmas Eve is just one of the favorite services we have. Christmas Eve, some would say, the best day of the year. All anticipating together. And it's been sweet to hear such excellent music. Thank you. Phenomenal job, team. And it gives me all the warm fuzzies to hear this music and to get to sing together and the glory of getting to see some familiar faces, some new faces, even some faces who helped start this church. It's sweet. I can't mention everybody that I've seen, but it's great to have Craig and Denise Stout back. They helped plant this church so long ago. And I think I saw Stephen and Jenny Stahl. Jenny's dad was the first pastor of this church. I'm real, real glad he started it. Really glad to have it. Jonathan and Dora Drendel, who just got planted down in Gardner, and other lovely faces, and we get to enjoy Christmas Eve, and I hope tonight gives you an opportunity to be with people that you get to love and share a moment with and say, man, I'm really grateful, feel like I hit the lottery, that I get to be your friend and be in your family. And yet at the same time, if we're honest, while we feel the excitement and joy and hopefulness, I think if we're honest, there's also a sadness and a disappointment that we might become sensitive to. As we see on Instagram or Hallmark movies, happy ever afters, I think in real life there's these moments where we encounter some disappointments, expectations, the way we hope things go, it never goes quite according to plan, and we find ourselves having to decide, why is the glossy, commercialized Christmas that we got promised as kid, why does that always seem just out of our grasp? I know we're here in Johnson County, and our tendency is to put on a sweet smile, to wear our Sunday best, wish each other Merry Christmas, and there certainly is much to be happy about, but real life then comes, and we realize, man, there's some real difficulties if we're honest about what's going on in life. Those of you who are members know that the elders, we pray for you. And just in recent days, some of the prayer requests reveal what's really going on under the surface. We've had folks saying, hey, would you pray? I feel really isolated right now from community, and I feel lonely, and I'm struggling. Others have said, hey, will you pray for one of my parents? I've got this cancer diagnosis. Would you pray for us? Some have prayed for kids to find salvation. Some have prayed for marriage difficulties. Some have asked for prayer requests saying, hey, my husband has a diagnosis. I have a different one. They're both really difficult, and we would like to have prayer. Even praying for one of our sweet members' kids who was in the NICU for a number of weeks, and praise the Lord is out. But these are the sort of realities that we face in a broken world. And we come to a text here in our Christmas Eve service in Matthew 2 that may be a little bit unfamiliar. If you're not aware of the Christmas story, you may be surprised to find out that that Christmas, when Jesus first came and was born, there was a tragic component. What it tells us is that anybody here who might find the glossy commercialized Christmas leaving something lacking, you're not alone. The disappointment and sadness and longing that gets stirred in our hearts was actually there all the way back with Jesus himself. Now, I realize this scripture may not hit some of the expectations a few of us may have, but the beauty of God's word is it's real, and it's not going to sugarcoat anything. If you're an outsider, you don't find yourself at church very much, we're so glad you joined us today. But consider how honest God's word is that when Jesus was born, there was also this tragedy with King Herod. And while King Herod reveals the darkness and sinfulness of our world, the good news is the light would overcome the darkness. But to understand something about the light, you have to first realize how dark it got, which is why we got to pick up contextually where we're at in Matthew. If you have your Bibles, and you're welcome to grab one in the seats in front of you. They should be on that little chair thing. You can open up to Matthew 1. Or if you were here with us Sunday, you might remember there was those surprises that got to Joseph. You remember the first surprise was his wife was pregnant. It was actually multiple surprises for the price of one, because surprise, she's pregnant. Second, she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. She's pregnant by the Holy Spirit with the Old Testament Messiah, the one who's going to save you from your sins. That was the first surprise for Joseph. What a roller coaster of an engagement he must have had. Surprise number two, the wise men, the magi, the international dignitaries. They had read the stars. They had showed up with treasures, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, sitting there at the baby shower, so to speak, saying, hey, I know we weren't invited, but we'd like to come in. And then they worship the child. That would have been an interesting conversation to overhear Joseph and Mary. Are these Iraqian dignitaries actually worshiping our kid? Do we do something about that, or do we let that happen? Well, he is the son of God, so I guess we'll let it slide. Mary's pregnant, gives birth to Jesus Christ. The wise men come and worship him. And then surprise number three, Joseph has that scary dream. Joseph has that scary dream, and we see in Matthew chapter 2, they have to go to Egypt. What we see throughout that entire beginning is that what were surprises to Joseph, what was probably unmet expectations on that first Christmas, that was God's plan all along. Because do you remember how in Matthew, he's quoting Isaiah? The virgin will give birth to a son, and his name will be Emmanuel, God with us. 700 years before Jesus is born, God has already promised that this child will be born. Well, where's he going to be born? Well, Micah told us in Micah 5:2, King Herod had to go ask the religious leaders, where's this baby going to be born? Because King Herod didn't know about the baby. Oh, we know it's going to be in Bethlehem. God had planned that hundreds of years before. Oh, and then that whole Egypt thing. Well, Hosea chapter 11, verse 1, Hosea had said, out of Egypt I call my son, which is the Exodus connection. And what it reminds us of, what it would remind the original readers of Matthew is this. Just as God called his son Israel out of Egypt at the Exodus, so might Jesus be the new Israel? Might Jesus be able to succeed in the way that Israel failed? If that's new to you, you might be surprised that in Matthew chapter 4, guess where Jesus goes? The wilderness. Wow, what a parallel. And whereas Israel failed in the wilderness, guess what Jesus did? He succeeded. He succeeded where Israel failed. It doesn't take too long for Israel to be making those golden calves, not Jesus. Well, that catches us up then to our passage today, where we see Joseph and Mary, they did escape. But Herod was, of course, intending to murder all the young boys. We read in verse 16, he's furious. Those wise men were supposed to come back and they're going to tell him where the Christ child was, but they didn't. And so King Herod has all the boys in Bethlehem slaughtered. This is real life, church. This is part of the first Christmas. And what we find is it fulfills a prophecy from Jeremiah 31:15. Think about this then. Days, perhaps months, after Mary had given birth to Jesus, they had escaped, they had made it to Egypt, and yet there are other mothers and families in Bethlehem who will not be comforted because their baby boy was taken from them. For anybody in here who knows firsthand the taste of tragedy and evil and suffering, you are not alone. At the first Christmas, there were mothers and families who felt that. And there can be no doubt, something has gone terribly wrong. The text shows us that. Doesn't our own experience reveal it? Something is terribly wrong. And is there anything that can make it right? Is there anyone who could turn our upside down Christmas right side up? Well, this is where in the passage, as we think about this escape to Egypt, where the original audience would be not only connecting to Israel, but they'd be connecting to another character in the Old Testament. Can you guess? By way of hint, do you see? Was there another infant who was born under the threat of death in the Bible? Is there another baby boy who, while an evil serpent-like king was reigning, had to be rescued from his clutches so that he could be the chosen deliverer of God's people? What this first Christmas reminds us of is early Exodus, of course. Jesus then being imaged as a new Moses. Don't you remember Moses? He had to be put in that little mini ark, his mom trusting Moses to God's sovereignty. Moses rescued. And here Christ rescued. And this retelling then would have those reading it and us too asking, might there be a better deliverer? Might there be a mediator between God and man who could actually get God's people to the true promised land, the eternal promised land? Who might that be? That's why this first Christmas is so important, church. The way Matthew casts it, at the beginning, he starts with the word Genesis. We saw that in the video. We find out that Jesus' name means the Lord saves. And what we find out is, genealogically, he is connected to Abraham and he is connected to King David. Might this be the one we've been waiting for? Indeed, this is the one who will make all wrong things right. This is the one who can take any upside down Christmas and make it right side up. And here then is why this first Christmas, dark as it might be in the passage that we read, here's why it actually has hope for us. Because if Jesus is powerful enough to overcome the darkness of King Herod, and if he's powerful enough to overcome the darkness of those poor mothers and families who had to bury their little boys because an evil king was so threatened by a baby boy that he had all the boys slaughtered in Bethlehem, if Christ can even overcome that evil, then he can overcome any evil, disappointment, longing, and suffering that we experience. See, get this. Jesus came and he brought hope. Jesus came and he has hope. Had those mothers who buried their little boys ever met Jesus years later, he would have been able to say to them, there is coming a day, dear woman, when you will really get comfort. There is a day when he will dry every eye. All the promises of God are yes in Christ Jesus. And despite the disappointment and the suffering and the longing that we all taste, we know from God's word, we know it personally, we know it experientially, and Jesus is the one who reverses every tragedy. Get this, there is no evil, suffering, or tragedy that you are walking through right now that he can't turn on its head. He can make your upside down Christmas right side up. Indeed, Jesus is the deliverer who will make all things right. He is the true and better Israel. He's the true and better Moses. He is the true and better Abraham. He's the true and better David. He is the true king our hearts are longing for. And here on this Christmas Eve, we remember him coming to earth, putting on flesh, entering our dark world, and the light has overcome. There in his first few days, the darkness tried to snuff him out. But you can't snuff out Jesus. He is the true deliverer. If you're here and you're not a Christian, I hope you get this. Jesus really can turn your life upside down. And the reason that Christmas matters is because ultimately it gets us to Easter. See, what we celebrate today, Jesus coming to earth, matters because he was born to die. We've heard that on stage already. Jesus was born to die, and in his death, he turns it upside down. The darkness has not overcome him. For 3 days after they put him in the tomb, he walked out. So for any of us who might be feeling disappointment, sadness, and longing, for any who, like the passage we read, are experiencing tragedy, this morning there's hope. There's warm fuzzies, not the Hallmark kind. Not Instagram-worthy posts, but actually true hope, true fulfillment. Jesus is the one who can take your upside-down Christmas and turn it right side up. Will you pray with me as we thank God and ask him to do this miracle of salvation for those who don't have him? Lord, we're grateful for your incarnation, and we celebrate who you are and what you've done. And now, we pray, Spirit, you are powerful, and you could take your word and save. Oh, do it. Give life. Thank you for these special moments we've shared. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you like what you've heard or want to find out more information, please visit our website at mymillcreek.com.